Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Aichi Petrochemical Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pramod Bhandari, CFO, Aichi Petrochemical Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, friends and everyone. On the behalf of Aichi Petrochemical, I extend a warm welcome for joining us on our call today. On this call, we are joined by SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentations, which were uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on our website. To begin with, I will give you a quick overview of the recent development in the chemical industry, followed by operational and the financial performance of Aichi Petrochemical. Overall, the Indian manufacturing has been expanding rapidly over the last few years. The overall domestic market is flourishing due to the rising consumption of the Indian consumers and opportunity to become a trusted, competitive, and sustainable supplier to the global MNC. As the global corporate look for China Plus One business strategy, they wanted to diversify their supply base in terms of sourcing of chemical, and a lot of Indian players are getting into other chemistries. They all need phthalic anhydride as one of their key raw material or intermediaries. The chemical industry had faced several headwinds, including the rising input cost as a result of soaring crude prices and supply chain disruption in last couple of years. Although the demand for phthalic anhydride remains strong, not only for the paint, plasticizer, UPR, but also for the new end user industries like specialty chemical, agrochemical, UPR, which are growing their consumption of phthalic in their new products and chemistries. We are witnessing rising demand from end user industry like building, constructions, automotives, paints, coating, electric vehicles, electronics, marine, agriculture industries. Rapid industrialization and urbanization in the major emerging market have increased the construction infrastructure in automotive industry. Rising construction activity has increased the demand for architecture, machinery, furniture, fixtures, paints, coating, etc., which indirectly increase the consumption of phthalic anhydride. The phthalic anhydride chemical is widely used in the production of plasticizers. 90% of plasticizers are using the phthalic anhydride. It is also being used in the PVC manufacturing. Huge demand of PVC in turn raise the demand for the key chemical, which is phthalic, because that is also used as the raw material. Phthalic anhydride industry is primarily served by a small number of players or manufacturers in the global market. Being the largest manufacturer in India and the second largest player in the world, we wanted to highlight that phthalic anhydride is no longer a commodity. It has become an essential commodity, which is produced by a handful of manufacturers in the world and consumed by a wide spectrum of industries where the demand is growing at a healthy rate. Let me take you through the company's performance. IGPL is the largest producer of phthalic anhydride in India with more than 50% market share. We manufacture the product at a scale of capacity of 222,000 tons. We have four key products in our portfolio. Apart from phthalic, we also produce maleic anhydride, benzoic acid, and DEP. We have four units of phthalic manufacturing facility of phthalic at Taloja, Maharashtra. DEP has just started contributing to our business in terms of the overall revenue and EBITDA. This product is primarily used in the industries like incense sticks, personal care products, cosmetics, toiletries, plastics, aromatics. In the financial year ended, we have got total revenue of 120 crore are currently contributed by for the financial year ended 2022. 120 crore of the total revenue are contributed by non-phthalic product. In Q1 FY23, the non-phthalic product revenue, which has contributed to our business, is around 48 crore, which include the maleic anhydride, benzoic acid, as well as the DEP. In terms of the expansion, the company has planned expansion to add another unit of 53,000 ton at our existing location. This brownfield expansion is estimated to be cost around 350 crore and target to complete by March 2024. Post PFI unit, our total capacity will increase to 275,000 tons. We also wish to expand our downstream derivatives product and plan to expand our footprints in Indian and export markets, which will improve our operating leverage and boost our profitability. The expansion aims to diversify and increase the revenue pie of downstream products and other derivatives. IGPL is in a solid position with around 300 crore plus cash on the balance sheet as of June 2022. The fund will be partly used for to fund the PFI project, which is under implementation. Along with PFI, we have also set up a ETP unit along with PFO for all the 5 plants, which we have spent around 35 crore in FY21-22. This will ensure that all our 5 plants are connected to ETP and we remain a zero discharge facility at later stage. The company has also signed up with a leading power company for installation of solar power panel so that we can also get the advantage of the solar power plant and can reduce our operating cost. That plant, solar power plant, will be set up at our existing phthalic anhydride storage location. The capital investment will help us on the energy conservation and expected to have a payback period of around less than 2 years. Coming to our operating performance, we have reported highest quarterly revenue of 664 crore. Our profitability stood at 81 crore for Q1 FY23. We have continued to maintain a strong business performance despite uncertain external events and volatile prices. Our performance for last 6 to 7 quarters reflects our resilience to the external market. We have continued to report healthy revenue and profitability over the last few years under the backdrop of capacity expansion and operational efficiency. We have 4 fully integrated plants at a single location and operating costs are lower, which lead to a strong competitive advantage. In terms of the Q1 FY23 financial performance, the total revenue of the company stood at 664 crore as against 389 crore in Q1 FY22, indicating a growth of 71%. EBITDA stood at 124 crore in Q1 FY23 against 86 crore for the corresponding previous quarter, a growth of 45%. EBITDA margin stood at 18.7% for the quarter, supported by a better product mix. Profit after tax stood at 81 crore compared to the 52 crore for the previous quarter for the last year, a growth of 56%. PAT margin stood at 12.2%. Our CAPEX plan for PA5 is on track and expected to commence the production in March 2024. EBITDA and PAT has seen a good impact. Basically, EBITDA and PAT overall in absolute term has improved. However, in terms of percentage, if you look at it, has been reduced because of the higher value of the final product. In terms of the long-term vision, we continue to explore the opportunity in downstream derivatives, chemical means physical chemistry, other specialty chemical, to diversify our product portfolio. We believe that we have laid a strong foundation for the future by focusing on long-term growth in end-user application markets. To reiterate, our long-term goal is to become a well-diversified chemical company with a leadership position in our core business. India is currently a net importer of phthalic and maleic. Around 25% of phthalic and 80% of maleic is imported in India. As a result, there is ample room for the import substitution. With our capacity addition and technical expertise, we will be well-positioned to capitalize on these product prospects. We have added a new product to our portfolio, which is the DEP, which will further help us to reach out to new clients and new industry. Diversification will eventually lead to a sustainability. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Nikunj Garg from Arith Group. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to know that apart from the brownfield expansion for 250 crores at your Taloja plant, do you have any other plans for greenfield expansion as well?
So, the PFI expansion, which we are doing, is 350 crore at the same location. at Taloja. The other plan which we have, we are evaluating and awaiting the approval from the Environmental Ministry. Once we got the approval, we will disclose in the public domain.
Okay, so you are expecting that to start from 2024. You are expected to commence construction in that.
Correct. Basically, when we are about to complete the thallic in the December to March 24, before that we were planning to start the construction for the new plant for downstream segments.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. And what is the size you are looking for, and what are the capex plans you have for that?
The capex plan is 100 to 150 crore, which we already finalized for one plan. But I think we need to wait till we come up with the final, because it has to be approved by the board, and that will happen once we get the approval from Environment Ministry.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, first question, sir, what would be the revenue of malic anhydride and advanced plasticizers in this quarter?
So, in this quarter, we have achieved 27 crore for malic anhydride revenue and advanced plasticizer of around 14 crore, which is 50% of their capacity. So, when we reach to the 100% of capacity of the malic, DEP, then it is expected to bring 80 to 100 crore of revenue on an annualized basis. For the last quarter, the revenue was around 14 to 15 crore.
Okay, and this peak utilization could be obtained in this year only?
Yeah, yeah. We are planning to close DPCL between 60 to 80 crore this year.
Okay. So, on to the target for the non-thalic business, like for FY22, we had done around 120 crores. So, what is the target for FY23 from the non-thalic business segments?
So, today, for this quarter, we achieved around 45 to 48 crore. So, we are targeting around 150 to 200 crore of non-thalic business, which includes DEP, benzoic acid, as well as malic anhydride. We should close between 150 to 200 crore of revenue for the year ended March 23.
Okay, but sir, the 150 to 200 crore revenue, this is based on the realizations of malic anhydride somewhere around 200 rupees per kilo, or upwards of that, or what would be the realization that you have taken?
No. Malic, we are expecting to sell malic around 7,000 ton. On 7,000 ton, if you are counting a particular rate, right now the rate is around 100 to 110, which is around 15 to 1600 crore. We are assuming around 1800 crore, we will be fetching around 80 to 100 crore on malic anhydride.
100 to 150 rupees per kilo, you said, right?
130 to 150 rupee per kg. So around 1700 to 2000 rupee per dollar per ton.
Okay. So around 150 crore could be achievable for this quarter. So for the whole fiscal FY23.
For malic anhydride, we are assuming between 100 to 120 crore revenue. For DP, we are assuming around 60 crore, and for other products, it will be 20 crore. So that is why I am saying around 180 to 200 crore for all the non-thalic revenue.
Okay. So on to the dyes and pigments, so which is also one of the end user of thallic anhydride. So that is witnessing a slowdown in demand. So how you think this could impact the thallic anhydride demand?
Yes, you have correctly observed there is a slowdown in certain segments. However, there are some of the segments which is growing around more than 10 to 15%. One of them is UPR, then specialty chemical, then agrochemical. There are other segments which are growing very well, because in India, we don't find any challenge, because still 20% of thallic anhydride is imported in India, around 10,000 ton basically per month, and around 30,000 ton per quarter. So one segment is having some challenge because of the end product not able to pass on the pricing to the customer, but other segments are doing well. For us, we look at the balance, because each segment we cater around 10 to 15 to 20%. Paint and plasticizer are biggest, balance all segments make for 5 to 15%. So for us, okay, we are happy to supply to various industries. We are supplying today more than around 15 to 18 industries with 120 players. So one or two segments doesn't make any difference, really, because India is already short of the phthalic anhydride, and we are importing 10,000 tons per month.
Okay. But considering, sir, this segment contributes roughly around 15%-20% of the end user. So if there is a slowdown, so can we shift our volumes more towards the agrochemicals or construction side?
We are shifting the composition of our sales every quarter. Even if you look at last 20 quarters, every quarter, each segment percentage keep on changing based on demand supply. Like in this October, November, December, paint will be high, plasticizer will be low. In raining season, plasticizer will be low. So like that, the composition of the segment keep on changing on quarter-to-quarter basis. So we are not that much worried about that. However, having said that, we have witnessed slowdown in some of the segment in the downstream, and I think it's not the slowdown per se because of the industry. Sometimes if the crude is able to correct, like crude has gone from $120 to $95. Similarly, the OX, which is the raw material for phthalic, also moved from $1,250 to $150 per ton, then probably the industry will get into the wait-and-watch mode. They are just waiting that the prices to settle before they give the order. But in India, because 80% is produced in India, 20% is imported, so always there is a demand. It's always about the question of pricing. Demand, we don't find any big challenge in India because it's a deficit market. It's always about the pricing, at which price you want it to sell.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah.
But sir, considering now, so if we can change the sales mix every quarter, so you don't enter into long-term contracts with the client, so how would be that split would be like, out of the total revenue, how much would be long-term and how much would be on spot contracts?
We have 40%-50% on long-term, but having said that, the long-term means there is a commitment from the buyer to buy, but pricing is always decided based on the international market price. So when I'm saying long-term contract, it is guaranteed about the quantity you would need to supply. The pricing is always based on the formula which is linked with the international market price and the margin.
Okay, so 40%-50% is long-term and remaining would be on spot basis.
Is it mainly paint plasticizers are long-term? Balance all are based on the actual requirement, yeah.
Okay, got it. So onto the other expenses, so they were down on QOQ basis. Is there any one-off which we are witnessing in this quarter?
No. In last quarter, because we have changed in the catalyst, so we need to incur the extra expenditure or repair and maintenance and the FO. That has reduced. Plus the logistic cost for supplying the product, because the FO and all other has gone down. So that is the reason it has reduced. Because last quarter it was high by 7 to 8 crore rupee. Now it has gone down because there was no shutdown this quarter.
Okay, so this would be the sustainable run rate, around 40 crore per quarter?
Yeah, 40 to 41 crore is per quarter, other expenses sustainable.
Okay. Sir, just one last question. Sir, onto the spreads part. So what we are witnessing that the spreads have contracted quite sharply in the month of June and July. So I know, sir, so we do not look at the quarterly spreads, but still we are maintaining our guidance of $200 per ton sustainable margins for the long term, or how we see, see margins?
200 average for the year is what you can expect.
And sir, for the coming quarter, is there any guidance which you can share in terms of spread things they have contracted for sharply?
I would not like to give any guidance for the next quarter. However, there are some, basically you can say that in terms of the overall demand, there are some industries which is showing some sign of the slowdown. And because of the continuous decline of the crude and the OX, so a lot of guys have deferred their purchases because they are waiting for the crude and the OX to settle, which I believe is now settling, because now 90 to 95 is the fair range and it's settled. Earlier it has gone from 120 to every week it is going by $5 to $7. Now it seems to be settled. Demand is not an issue, and I think margin is ultimately the result of demand and supply of the global markets. So right now in India we have seen a good pickup. Even if there is some slowdown in some sector, it will not impact the overall demand of phthalic, because it's basically phthalic is now supply to more than 20 industries and 120 players in domestic market.
Okay. Okay, sir, got it. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I had one question on the revenue growth. So it's up by about 28% on a Q-on-Q basis. So how much of that will be driven by volume and how much by product mix?
So basically, if you look at the last quarter vis-a-vis this quarter, the only 1,000 ton is the difference. Actually, the prices of the product has gone up. That is why the revenue is looking 660 crore. If had it been the last quarter pricing, it has been between 550 to 560 crore. So that is one. So somebody asked me why your margins looks down compared to last. Actually, it is not the margin. Margin remain at $200 to $250 per ton. But because the prices of the final product has gone up, on the higher prices, the margin look low. I think you understood my point.
Yes,
margin per unit remains same. But since the prices has gone up, your sales revenue has gone up compared to 517 to 5660. While margin remains the same. Quantity almost remains the same. But when you get the gross margin higher in absolute term, but when you compare it with the higher sales, your margin looks like that it has gone down. That is the reason.
Sure, sir. And what would be like the realization on phthalic anhydride between Q4 and Q1?
I think same, $200 to $250, which is the $200 to $250 is the margin for the quarter. And company make because of operational efficiency, yield advantage, and other advantage, company and malic rendered revenue, the DP revenue, company is making slightly $100, $120 over and above the margin. Market margin remains same, $200 to $250.
Sure. The margin is like between 200 to 250. What would be the realization on phthalic anhydride for Q4?
So realization you are talking about, but absolute realization doesn't make any difference. I think the margin is the key. The realization is for blended realization is 160 rupees per kg.
Okay, for Q1 and for Q4?
Q4 was 80. But I think in absolute term, whether you are making 80 or 116 doesn't make any difference. Because ultimately, compared to the raw material, what is the pricing? If margin remains same, that is why I told you. Last quarter, average realization was 80. Now it's 160. Revenue has gone up in a good proportion because of the increase in the pricing. However, the margin remains same. On the similar margin, on the similar quantity, the percentage of the gross margin and the EBITDA margin has gone down because the final product prices have gone up.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, I have two questions. The first one is, in the last con call, you had mentioned that you are evaluating three projects, and out of which even two are implemented, that will ensure a growth of 20 to 25% CAGR in the revenues for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I just want to know which are these three projects you were referring to.
So one is the PFIR, which is under implementation, okay. Expected to complete by March 24. So okay. Out of balance two, I think we have yet to get the board approval. We have sent the application to the Environmental Ministry for approval, which is the downstream project. So once the approval is come, then we will be able to declare about that project. So that two is very imminent because we are planned to implement both. PFIR is under construction and balance downstream is it's a matter of time. Third is under evaluation.
So that means at least two are confirmed that you will be implementing. It's only the timing that when you have to implement and all that. Correct?
One is already under implementation.
Implementation. Okay.
Yeah. So second, we are at environmental approval stage and third is under evaluation.
Okay. So the second thing is that you had mentioned in the last call, you are also planning to do some increase in the capacity of non-phthalic anhydride products also, like malic, benzoic and everything. Is that is another third project, or it is already part of, you know, you're not considering among the three projects that I was talking of?
So when I'm talking about increase the capacity of phthalic, so in line with that, the malic and malic acid will automatically go up by 15%-20% because it's the same part of the same product range.
Oh,
When I'm
okay.
talking about diversification, I was talking about DEP. Today, we are at 14 crore-15 crore per quarter DEP in terms of revenue, which is 60 crore. But today, we are again 50%-55% of capacity utilization. If we reach at, say, 90%, then we will be having 90 crore-100 crore of revenue from DEP. So that is providing extra EBITDA margin of around 10%-11% and then PAT margin of around 5%-6%.
Okay. So that means this increase in the capacity of this is part of PFI project only, is what you're saying?
PFI, we may look at, but not right now, to increase the DEP capacity also from 8,400 to 12,000 tons. But that is right now under discussion.
Under discussion. See, why I was asking that question is, see, you have already given us this, during the current year, you are expected to, achieve around 200 crore of revenue from the non-phthalic anhydride products.
Correct.
Correct?
That I have mentioned because malic, we are assuming 100 crore plus.
Absolutely, sir. It is all.
Around
of course, I agree. It is all projected.
80 crore of DEP, 70 crore-80 crore. It may be 5 crore-10 crore here and there, and 20 crore is the other products and the interest and other revenues. Yeah.
So this is all projected. I'm just asking for the discussion purpose.
Yeah.
So assuming that the prices remain same and you are going to clock whatever the Q1 revenues in the remaining three quarters also.
Yeah.
So what happens that we will get around 2,640 crore of revenues for the FY23. So my question is, 200 crore out of 2,640 comes to around 7.5%.
Yeah.
Okay. So assuming that you will do 20%, not 25, 20% CAGR for next two, three years, FY25, your top line would become 3,800 crore.
So there, I need to correct you. If all prices remain same, but the question is.
So these are all assumptions. So my question is, I'll come to that.
Yeah.
So you have given us this 30% of the revenues in FY25, in the next three years, would come from non-phthalic products.
Correct.
Now, 30% of this 3,800 or 3,500, whatever it may be, I'm just saying for calculation purpose, comes to around 1,140 crore.
Correct.
Or for our discussion sake, let us take it as 1,000 crore only. So that means in the current year, you are doing 200 crore. In the next two years, you will have to do, five times of that.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, do we have capacity or do the management have done the planning or calculation how they will achieve this much?
The management have a vision to get 30% of revenue by 2025 from other non-phthalic product. And that is the vision for that, and we are trying to achieve that. It may be the matter of maybe delay by 6-12 months, but we are on track to achieve that.
So it is only a delay of 6-12 months, but you are on track to achieve that.
That all depends upon the approval process and actual implementation of project.
I
Okay. Second, when you are saying about the revenue, 2,600 crore, it all depends upon the pricing. This quarter, we achieved 660 crore, but I believe that if crude remains, say, 80-90, we will be achieving around 2,000-200 crore of revenue. Today, the revenue looks very high because the prices for the last quarter were very high.
Got it.
Next.
Sir, just for our idea, these non-phthalic anhydride products, all the three put together, what is the, consolidated EBITDA margin that we can aspire in these three products?
So it will not be correct to calculate the EBITDA margin, except the DEP, because in DEP, the EBITDA is between 10%-15%. DEP, which will be 80 crore-100 crore for the full year. For the other product, it is not correct to calculate the EBITDA margin because whatever is the revenue, except some expenditure is EBITDA. So if I say 70-80, it will be a speculation because for them, it is a part of phthalic. Whatever the revenue is, direct EBITDA.
So that means there the margins are too high. So that's why you don't want to take that.
Not margins are too high because when you are counting the revenue from that, then there is no raw material cost.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So in a way, margins are too
high. Yeah. Not too high. It's not correct to compare.
Completely.
Because when you are earning 70, 80, 100 crore from the Malik and you need to spend 4 to 5 crore, you say 95 crore you have made EBITDA, it's not correct. Because the other way around, if you are actually producing the Malic from N-butane route, you need to incur 50% for the N-butane cost. So, in that case, the other product, what is the revenue is coming, mostly it is by way of directly EBITDA for Malic and benzoic acid, and for DEP it is 10 to 15%.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, my third question is, sir, what is the asset turnover that we can expect from this 350 crore of investment in PFI plant?
Based on today's price, around 1.2, we expect 450 to 500 crore of revenue from that.
Okay. Sir, now, this 450, how much, what is the current capacity utilization, sir?
91 to 92%.
And what is the maximum possibility? Can we do 100% or this?
No. 91 to 92 is extended for last 20 years.
Sorry, sir?
91 and 92% capacity utilization is extended because every year you need to take one plant into shutdown for change in the catch cost every 3 years.
Okay. Okay.
So 91, 92 is extended. We maintain it for last 20 years in Thailand.
So that is the maximum. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as and when we commission this PFI plant, you are giving us a target of, let's say, Q4 of this financial year.
I am giving March 24. March 24. Yeah.
March 24. Okay. So it will come on. Let us say full capacity would be available from next financial year.
Yeah.
How much time does it take to ramp up to, run it to the full capacity?
60 to 90 days. That is historical we have taken for PA2, PA3, PA4.
50 to 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, after this current expansion of PA5, do we have some more space left for any more future expansion at Taloja?
At existing site, no. But we have adjoining land in Taloja, which is 4 acres, yes, in that site.
So that 4 acres, as and when you take a call on the downstream product, you would be utilizing that, right?
Correct.
So for any further expansion of PA, you may have to look for greenfield.
We have not planned anything on PA right now because PA5 is under implementation. I think the call will be taken later on whether we need to go into PA or other chemistry.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, my last question is, sir, we know the local competitor, domestic competitors. Is it possible to tell us any, because you say there are hardly 6-7 players, who manufacture PA in the world. Is it possible to name us 2-3 international competitors?
Nanya in Korea.
Okay.
I think Korea and Taiwan are the major players. Because from China, they are net importer of the phthalic. So that has no, generally they don't export to the Indian market. Korea and Taiwan, they export it, but because of the logistic issue, forex issue, import duty, freight, it become very costly. But still, India need to import. But generally, guys, mid and the small guys avoid importing from these countries because it is not only the cost, but the time. It takes 30 to 45 days.
So, but then whatever the difference is there, maybe a lag, in terms of annual requirement, you said that gets imported.
It is important till IG, Therma and other players build up their capacity.
Agreed. So that means as and date, in spite of IG as well as Thirumalai putting up additional capacity, there may be still, the demand may be going up, there may be shortage of product which the user are forced to import, whether they
continue
like it or not.
Continue to import some quantity, yes, surely.
So that would be from Korea and Taiwan?
That is what I have seen generally, Korea, Taiwan major, but otherwise coming small quantity from Asia, sometimes from China, sometimes from Russia, but that is very small, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 tons.
Okay. So now, since we have all these 5 units at the same place, are we the cheapest manufacturer of PA in the world?
We are even today one of the cheapest.
So that means even if
international companies, it is not possible to compete with any.
So that means whatever the additional capacity we will be putting, so it should not be a problem to sell that product, you are saying.
product sale, not at all a problem, because even if it is, we are selling today 10-12% to export, we can go up to 20-25%. Because Middle East, there is no producer of phthalic. We are right now selling 10-15% to Middle East, and there is a good demand in the Middle East. Plus, you are coming up with the downstream, like DEP.
Okay.
Or any other. You need to give 50%-60% of phthalic in downstream. So where is the new product?
Okay. So this downstream product, what you are saying is, it's of PA only?
Yeah.
Okay. So now what you're saying is, in future, the management would concentrate more on the downstream rather than the PA?
Downstream? Yeah, downstream as well as other chemistries.
Other chemistry. Okay. So this would diversify you slowly from this PA product.
Correct. That is what I'm saying, that 2025-2026, we need to have 30% revenue from non-phthalic product, which we are concentrating and continuously working towards that.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, now you have given, I'm re-
Mr. Jain, I request you to come back in the queue.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ravi Mehta from Deep Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of the question got answered. One clarification I was wanting, that last quarter we had taken a shutdown, so what could be the utilization for the Q1? Was it like 95%?
91%. 91-92% average for the year. Typically, we produce 17,500 ton phthalic every month. 17,000-17,500 ton. But last quarter, we have taken the shutdown, but inventory was already there, so sale is almost same in terms of sales quantity.
Okay. So you meaning if there is no shutdown, we can utilize 95%, but factoring one shutdown because of a catalyst change, the annualized is 91-92%.
Correct. Absolutely right.
So Q1 had no shutdown in a way, so we could have done the peak. And
correct.
Annualized is what you're talking, 91-92%. Just a clarification.
Correct. Absolutely right.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up. Sir, my question is, one of the participant has asked you regarding the margins on the advanced plastic surface front, and you had mentioned that is around 10% to 15%. But considering today, sir, so phthalic anhydride is making only 15% to 20%. So I believe advanced plastic surface should be around 25% to 30%.
No. When I am telling you the margin, it's over and above phthalic.
Over and above phthalic, okay. So 15% to 20% phthalic, so we can take around 25% to 30% for advanced.
When I'm saying the margin on DEP, then you need to assume that company has transferred the phthalic at market price, then how much money you are making over and above that.
Okay. And so this 100 to 150 crore downstream, which has been approved, but it is so yet to get the environment and clearance.
I think that we can discuss it once it is approved by the board, and then we can discuss about that.
Okay. Okay, no issue. So just I wanted to know what would be the asset turnover if you can share it. No issue.
No. For PA5 project, which cost us 350 crore, we expect to have a revenue based on the current market price of the product, 450 to 500 crore. So asset turnover reasonably coming around 1.2 to 1.3 for PA5.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I had a follow-up question. Just wanted to understand what would be the contribution of Taiwan to the global phthalic anhydride industry. What would be their contribution?
So that I don't have readily available. I think I can give you separately because I don't have data country-wise today with me.
Sure. And what would be the, like, approximately any imports from Taiwan into India for the product?
So typically 10,000 ton, majority is coming from Korea, Taiwan, and one or two more countries, which is Russia, Egypt and all that. Korea and Taiwan is the major import destination from where we are by importing the product in the domestic market.
Sure, sir. And lastly, like in terms of cost of production, it's like are Indian players competitive with Taiwan or they are at par?
I think Indian manufacturers are much more competitive than Taiwan compared to the cost. And plus, if you are importing, you need to incur the freight, transportation, container cost, forex, 45 days. So if you put all together, so Indian guys will always be competitive. There is no question the foreigners can compete with Indian markets, domestic market, domestic players.
Mr. Tiwari?
Yeah, sure, sir. And lastly, one question on the strategic side. So as we know that our plant is in Taloja, and there has been a lot of residential development in Taloja.
Yeah.
So just wanted to understand if there is any environment concern or anything from the regulator wherein they would like to limit the operations of chemical industry as a whole in that locality going forward.
Yeah, the question is valid. Taloja is a big industrial center which occupies around 3,000+ industries. It is the biggest in Mumbai. I have seen some of the residentials, but that is our entry site. If you look at the entire Taloja, there is no directly residential inside the Taloja industrial complex. Of course, I have seen a couple of buildings coming outside Taloja. We are very concerned about the environment. That is the reason we wanted to remain a very environmental conscious company. We have put a, by investment of 35 crore ETP plant, which ensured zero discharge facility from our all the plants put together. Number second, we are also putting a lot of thrust on the sustainability. We have just awarded a solar rooftop power plant so that our overall operating cost can further reduce in terms of the uses of power. In either way, we are using minimum power. We are generating the steam inside our power plant, which we are using for generation of power. So we are using the external power only in case of shutdown or change in catalyst. So we are very much aware of that, and we keep our operations very neat and clean in terms of the environment. That is the reason we spent 35 crore. Although there is no requirement per se in the government side to have the zero discharge facility, but we have put inside our plant the zero discharge facility for ETAP. I don't find any challenge because 3,500 industries are there in Taloja.
Okay, so what I understand is like there would not be any challenge to any future expansion from regulatory authorities in that locality.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, that is helpful, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, my question was, you said that you know, we are going for a downstream product for the future investment. So, see, the PA, we are net import.
I think we said we will go. We are going is not the word I use.
Oh, okay, we will go. Okay. Sir, why I'm asking this question is, we are the cheapest manufacturer, and you are seeing PA is getting used in more and more industries, and it is getting, you know, from a commodity product, it is becoming a semi-commodity product type. Then, first of all, what is this logic of going for a diversification where we can, you know, expand the, you know, PA capacity further?
So, PA capacity, we look at growing our capacity to maintain around 45 to 50% market share on regular basis. But management is of the view, now it is better to diversify into the other portfolio because sometime you can see there is some compression in the margin. If you have a 4 to 5 or 6 product in your portfolio, then your profitability beta will be remain sustainable for indefinite period of time. And when we are talking about the other downstream, we are looking for a specialty where, of course, revenue will be low, but margin will be high. Low revenue, high margin products.
Okay, so when these downstream products, is it, do we have the in-house technology or are we looking at a merge, acquiring some company? What is the thinking in the management?
I think management is open for all and we are evaluating multiple projects. So I think it's not correct for me to comment at this juncture. Whenever company board approve any specific project, then we will certainly come back with all the disclosures regarding this project.
Okay. So my last question is, since the usage of PA is getting into more and more industries, so yeah, you feel that the whatever the margin range you have given, $200 to $250, so that would remain relatively stable over next 5 to 10 years. Is what that so, is what we can take it for?
Let me reframe you for you again. The demand of phthalic is not a problem in India. The domestic industry is growing, where typically we supply around 70 to 80% to the all paint, plasticizer, PVC, pigment. This is going very well. Apart from that, a lot of new segments like specialty chemical, agrochemical, UPR, films, they are getting into the new chemistry as a China plus one. A lot of guys are, especially chemical, are getting into new chemistry. They need phthalic. So per se, from the demand side, we don't feel any challenge because phthalic is continuing to be a basically essential commodity for most of the chemistries in downstream. When it comes to the margin, we will be always better off global margin. You can't predict the margin today, but whatever is the global margin, you will make $100 to $150 over and above the global margin. Why you are making? Because of your operational efficiency, your contribution of byproduct, your operating cost. Because of that, you have inherent advantage over the global industry to make the additional margin. I hope I clarify your point.
Yes, sir. And lastly, like both the local players are adding the new capacities in PA, does any of our international competitors are also expanding their capacities?
No. As of now, there is no such expansion happening. In India, it is expanded, IG, Thermal and other players, because there is a good demand in domestic market.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to know, as far as the cost of production is concerned, you told that we are the lowest cost producer in this country. What is the difference between our cost and our competitor as on today?
So there are two, three reasons. First, we are the nearest point for the sourcing of raw materials from Reliance, while our competitor has to take it down south. Second, IGPL, all the plants are at single location at world scale capacity. So the fixed cost is divided among all the four plants, while number of manpower more or less remains the same. Third, we are at the heart of the market. We supply 80% of our product in domestic market to Gujarat and Maharashtra, and we are the nearest to that. So these three reasons, and the fourth, of course, the internal efficiency using the steam, using a lot of internal gases, steams inside that, and it's basically downstream malic, benzoic acid, all put together make us one of the best, lowest cost producer in the world. So I personally don't want to compare it because it's a different philosophy. We have built all the plants on the German equipment, latest technology, which lasts for 40, 50, 60 years. We change the catalyst every 3 years. So our plant, if you look at the plant, you will feel like you are entering into a BSF facility in Germany. The philosophy of management is to spend extra, take latest technology, taste best equipment, and then run the plant for 40, 50, 60 years and maintain it very well.
I'm not saying
they are not competitive. They may be competitive, but I don't have information directly regarding their operating cost. But I have mine, and when I compare it with the global peers, we are one of the best.
Sir, I think my suggestion is you should take two analysts for plant visit also.
Yeah, that we will do, definitely. I think we have done last quarter. This quarter also we will propose, I think, in between, before Deepavali, we are trying to have one plant visit.
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up again. So based on the consumption numbers, so what would be the figure for of phthalic as a demand in FY22? Would it be close to 5 lakh tons? And what would be the installed capacity figure as on FY22 in India?
So,
So capacity is, I think, IG, Tirumalai, and there is another capacity which is 8,000-10,000 tons. So in terms of the capacity, I believe it's around 320,000-330,000 tons in India. The consumption of phthalic in India is around 420,000-430,000 for FY22.
Sir, this 420 figure, I believe it was around FY19-20. So considering a 10% growth over the last 3 years, that should have been reached around 5 lakh tons. Just that I want to reconcile with the numbers.
So I have a data, but I'm not sure it's correct, which shows around 420-450 for the FY22 number. And
420-450 for FY22. And figure would be around 3.5 lakh tons.
No, no. There is a difference between Indian consumption and Indian production because IG also produces and exports 20%.
Correct.
Other players also may be exporting. When I'm talking about Indian consumption, then you need to add what sales two players are making in the domestic market, three players, plus the import which is happening in India minus the export made by the entity. So in that view, it's coming, in my view, 430-450 for FY22.
Okay. Okay. Sir, just one more question, sir. What would be the European company's capacity to the global capacity in terms of percentage? So this question, sir, I'm asking because now we are witnessing that the Russian companies.
Europe.
So there has been a shortage of gas supply to some of the European companies. So definitely.
Europe is around 13%-15% of the total global supply. Of course, they are facing challenges because of the gas. Their cost of production has gone up drastically. That is not for phthalic. That is happening across all the industries.
Okay. So for phthalic, if you can give specific numbers, it could be similar, around 15% capacity to the global.
I don't. Capacity is between 12%-15% of the global capacity, but I don't have a specific number because generally, if they have a phthalic, they are fully integrated. They have a refinery cum petrochemical and phthalic. So I don't feel there is a per se direct challenge because if refinery is there, so they may be generating their own power plant and then supplying. To what extent they depend on the European gas, so the Russian gas supply, that has to be looked into company by company in the European side. I don't have that info readily with me.
Okay. So there should be support in terms of pricing. So considering if there is a cut into global supply, just a view, so just a viewpoint.
I don't know. I don't know because some of the industries have witnessed, which is in Germany and other areas, their power plant bill has gone up by 4-10 times because of the disruption in supply from Russia. So it all depends upon what type of industry, whether it's energy intensity also make a major role. Some like cement players, they need very good amount of energy. In that case, they depend on gas, then their operating cost gone up by 3-4 times. The other industry where the energy intensity is less, they are not impacted. So I think that survey has to be done, analysis has to be done country to country, industry to industry. We don't have any data to say that the cost of phthalic has gone up or down because it's impossible. It's completely integrated in refinery cum petrochemical.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pramod Bhandari for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for joining us today for the call. As you are aware that India is a population of 130 crore and middle class, which was around 10%-15%, has grown up to now 35%-40% in overall composition in the last 50 years. Across the industry, whether it's a paint, plasticizer, pigment, PVC, specialty chemical, India is still at 3% of the global consumption while we are having 20% of the global population. So still there is a gap. There is a great opportunity for the growth of the infrastructure. We continue to believe that phthalic will remain the key for all the chemical and specialty chemical companies and continue to grow for the next 10-20 years. Thank you very much. If you have any other question, please contact with our investor relations advisor SGA or directly send us the mail. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of IG Petrochemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.